Good morning, Auroville. This is Abhijit with you again, broadcasting from Auroville Radio. And I'm back with my series of exploring education in arts, animation, and filmmaking. Today, we are exploring animation again. In the last episode for animation, I had explored the studio system in animation. And I continue that by diving deep into the world of animation for television. In 1956, a new era in animation began with the creation of the Boing Boing Show, the first network animated series. Aired at adults, it featured classic UPA cartoons, clever bridging animation, and offbeat new shorts. Actually, the first made-for-television animation appeared in commercials, done by such masters as Otto Messmer in 1941 and Seamus Cullahan in 1947. Another early effort was Jay Ward and Alex Anderson's Crusader Rabbit cartoon series in 1949. But starting in 1956, a steady stream of animation, both new and classic, was introduced to a new generation of cartoon fans through this powerful new medium. The pioneers of television animation were competing with their theatrical counterparts, just as early television programming competed with movies and radio programs, and needed to maintain artistic quality. The early TV tunist relied on dialogue and narration, so their products were closer to contemporary radio shows than the theatrical cartoons. The artist had to demonstrate great visual skill, since for budgetary reasons, each of their drawings was seen for much longer than 1/12 of a second that is standard for theatrical animation. Much of the art in the early years was highly stylized, a result of UPA influence and the ingenuity of cartoonists who needed to compensate for lack of movement with creative artwork. Like the Boing Boing Show, many early TV shows were aimed at adults. Jay Ward's Rocky and Bullwinkle in 1959, Hanna-Barbera's The Flintstones in 1960, and Blob Kempit's Beanie and Sissel in 1962 rank with the funniest television, live or animated, ever produced. Other shows were geared for youngsters, including Colonel Bleep and Bozo the Clown in 1959, and Tom Terrific in 1957, created by Gene Dash for the Captain Kangaroo Show. In 1957, William Hanna and Joseph Barbera, fresh from 17 years of Tom and Jerry's theatricals for MGM, began amazingly successful careers in television animation with the Rough and Ready Show. Using strong character designers like Ed Benedict and veteran storymen like Michael Maltese and Warren Foster, Hanna-Barbera's television cartoons became a national sensation with a succession of stars like Huckleberry Hound in 1958, Quick Draw McGraw in 1959, and Yogi Bear in 1961. The Flintstones 1960 premiere in an 8:30 p.m. prime slot spawned a slew of primetime cartoons. The Alvin Show, Top Cat, Calvin and the Colonel all in the 1960, The Jetsons in the 1962, and Johnny Quest in 1964 were joined by evening showings of The Bugs Bunny Show, The Bullwinkle Show, Beanie and Sissel, and The Famous Adventures of Mr. Magoo in an escalating cartoon boom. Soon, ultra-low-budget producers offered quirky and sometimes hilarious productions such as Sam Singer's The Adventures of Pow Wow in 1957, Bucky and Pepito in 1958, and Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse in 1960, Ken Snyder and Fred Crippen's Roger Ramjet in 1965, Cranberry Studios' Clutch Cargo in 1959, and Space Angel in 1962, which used the synchro walks technique for matching live-action mouths to static drawings. Even theatrical producers took the plunge, with UPA producing Dick Tracy in 1961 and Mr. Magoo in 1960. Terry Toons creating Deputy Dog in 1960, Paramount beginning the new Casper cartoon show in 1963, and Walter Lantz hosting the Woody Woodpecker show in that time. Imports from Japan: Astro Boy in 1963, Gigantor in 1966. From England: Halas and Bachelors Doodoo, the Kid from Outer Space. And France: Tintin rounded out the golden age of television animation of the late 50s and 60s. The next years saw a decline in evening series, replaced by highly acclaimed and popular specials. Encouraged by the success of A Charlie Brown Christmas in 1965 and Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas in 1966. Among the best of these were Chuck Jones's Horton Hears a Who in 1970, Richard Williams' A Christmas Carol, and Bill Melendez's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, both in 1979. The later 1960s also brought forth a barrage of comic strip characters on Saturday morning, including Superman, the Lone Ranger, Archie, and Spider-Man. By the mid-80s, these were replaced by merchandise-driven action cartoon characters such as G.I. Joe and the Smurfs. In 1987, Ralph Bakshi's Saturday morning CBS series, Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures, surprised everyone with humor, something animation had forgotten. Disney continued his change for the better with DuckTales in 1987, a funny, fully animated series starring their famous characters. Warner Brothers and Amblin Entertainment's Tiny Toons Adventure in 1989 revived wacky cartoons for afternoon viewing, and The Simpsons in 1990 brought animated satire back to primetime and to a primarily adult audience. The future of made-for-television animation for the animation industry as a whole had never looked brighter. In addition to popular feature-length films, new and diverse high-quality programming was being produced for network television, such as Batman the Animated Series by Fox in 1992, Family Dog by CBS in 1993. For cable networks, The Ren and Stimpy Show by Nickelodeon in 1991, and direct-to-home video market, Tiny Toons Adventure, How I Spend My Vacation in 1992. Ted Turner launched an international cartoon network in October 1992. And the Public Broadcasting System, popularly known as PBS, produced its first made-for-television animated feature in 1993. Cable networks such as the Disney Channel, USA, MTV, and the Family Channel are actively producing new cartoon series. Television then became the primary market for animation. It was on television that the next generation of great animators would ply their craft, make us laugh, and dazzle our senses. And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.